What's up, everybody? This is Devendra here. And for the holiday week, I want to chat with the co-founder and CEO of one of the hottest products out there right now, the Nex Playground. This is a Kinect-like AI device. It's practically like a mini console that sits in front of your TV. It uses a camera and computer vision to let your kids play all sorts of interactive games. It's really similar to the stuff we've seen from Microsoft's Kinect and a little bit of the original Nintendo Wii in there as well. So I want to chat with David Lee, the guy who's been spearheading this product, and it's been a huge success. It launched 2 years ago. They've been selling a ton of them. They're having trouble keeping them in stock. It's just rare to see a hardware product that is, you know, not connected to an existing console or another ecosystem kind of find its own footing in this day and age. And also, it has plenty of major brands putting games on here too, including stuff from Peppa Pig and Bluey. I really want to see what was going on with the Nex Playground. I've not tested it myself yet, but I'll be back with more details once I do. My kids are eager to play with it. But for now, I got to chat with David Lee about Nex and what they're up to and how he's thinking about building interactive electronics and interactive games for kids. I think we had a good chat, so take a listen. David Lee, thank you so much for joining us in the Engadget podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you here. And this is such a unique product, right? Because I remember when you guys launched and I got the initial pitch and it was like, okay, AI video game box or something with Kinect interface. I was like, I don't know if people are going to be into this. But 2 years later, clearly it's found its place with the audience. You're one of the fastest selling products during Black Friday. I'm wondering what led to the development of Nex Playground. What is your background and what kind of brought you to this specific way of creating a kid-friendly interactive device?
Sure. Let me first introduce myself. David Lee here, co-founder and CEO of Nex. I'm father of two kids. When I started Nex, they are 6 and 1. So I can see my two daughters' fingerprint all over my product when we start building these motion experiences in the last 8 years at Nex. Nex did not start with building Nex Playground first. We start with building a basketball training app called Home Court because I just love basketball, want to do something with it.
Okay.
Before Nex, I spent 8 years at Apple. And before that, I was running my own startup, which got acquired by Apple. So, but let's talk about how we got here from a basketball training app to Nex Playground. So the basketball training app we built was called Home Court. And it's just me, we love basketball, I want to do something basketball related. And we end up building a basketball shot tracking app. Mm-hmm. So I want to create something that track my shots, count make and misses, and just having fun doing my shooting workout.
Was it a camera, like watching you do throw a virtual basketball? Okay.
Yeah, so it's a real basketball. You mm-hmm. actually
oh, real basketball.
Go,
okay.
You can set up a camera on mm-hmm. top of a tripod and pointing at a basketball court. The camera recognize the court, the hoop, the board, the line, and you can shoot and you can count your misses. It's pretty awesome. So if you search basketball app today, mm-hmm. Home Court very likely still your first hit at Google.
Okay.
In 2018, Apple put us on stage when iPhone XS reached that breakthrough performance to process video in real time.
Right,
30 frames a second. That's when we become more known and get the basketball world like aware this technology is now available, and so many aspiring basketball players, even to NBA player using the app to track the shots mm-hmm. for its shot tracking experience. After that, you get a report. You actually count your shot real time through a speaker. It's a pretty awesome experience. And then pandemic happens.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think, wow, like nobody can play basketball anymore in the pandemic, Home Court went viral. And it went viral not because of the basketball shot tracking experience. It's because of we have other interactive training drills in it. So we have drills which use a front-facing camera and give you feedback on the screen. And you dribble a ball that we give you a target you can hit with your offhand. We also have interactive agility drills where you were touching virtual cones and some kind of get you better in basketball. Those training games just went viral. So what happened at that time is that, okay, well, people coming in, not basketball players, download Home Court app to play those games. We take those out, create another game called Active Arcade. Mm-hmm. Active Arcade went viral again. Millions of downloads, hundreds of millions of play sessions. But we find out is that while we're actually gaining users as much as we, as fast as we lose them, but we look at actually who are the people who stay. Are the people actually go for the hassle connecting their phone or tablet to the TV? So what tells us is that we are essentially building it for the wrong platform. So I spent a couple of years searching the world for a 65-inch iPad. Mm-hmm. Talk to all kinds of TV manufacturers, set-top box manufacturers. Okay, how I can create game for the TV platform?
Yeah, because there have been a lot of TVs with like camera attachments and stuff, but that's never really worked out. Like it's not going anywhere. There was Skype for TV. I've seen all the stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the Sky Life is like the one that is closest. Mm-hmm. We actually spend a lot of time engineering-wise with the Sky team in UK to optimize our game for our platform. The first one could actually put real processing power into that device. All other TV platforms, Samsung, LG, they add camera, yes. The processing power to do something real with it is not there. So end up that we launch some of games with Sky Live, but why we do Playground? Because we cannot find another Sky. It's only a product that only accessory to our to the Sky TV. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of it's limiting platform only in UK only. So we cannot find another Sky, so we end up building our own, and that's this next Playground.
Gotcha. And I would have to say, talking to a lot of startups, building your own hardware is the hardest thing. Hardware is hard, is as the saying goes. So were you excited that you had to build your own thing? Was there stuff you were pulling from? Or was it more, okay, this is a major hurdle we have to get over just to get the computer vision platform going?
Yeah, well, I'm from Apple.
Yeah.
And Steve Jobs once said that when you care enough about your software, you start building your own hardware. Mm-hmm. I think that's eventually what we did. It was scary. But when my co-founder, Tony Sung, come to me and say, hey, we need to create the best experience. And the best experience is that we have full control on the hardware. And say, hey, just let me do it as a hobby. It's just like in 2022, March, he come to me and say, hey, let's do it. And I just, I've been working with him for over 10 years. And said, hey, if you build hardware, I will sell that hardware door to door. But first, we need to create it. So it starts with a story that we tell our story that we want to build hardware to anyone who wants to listen. I just remember there was a time when we just say, hey, we're really interested to do it. And we don't know how. When we go out and ask people, we say we want to do it. And we start building it on top of the Android TV setup box architecture, create demo with big ugly box. Look, this is huge. That we get some dev board and then we just keep running on it and we start showing to people. We start demoing the experience to people. And once we did it enough, then we have our first manufacturing partner willing to like take the dive with us and in a year, take it from like just development board, prototypes, all the way to finished product.
Nice.
And that's in 2023, create the first 5,000 units.
And the Playground looks like a very polished device. It has that Apple-y vibe, actually. So can you talk about, first of all, I don't know if you can mention the manufacturing partner. I'd love to know who's helping you guys build this, but also how did you guys go about designing it too?
Yep. So we actually hire an industry firm first because we want to, because it's all about storytelling. What are the things that we want to do? And is the why of why we're doing it and the industrial design need to clearly communicate the intent. So I remember when we go out and search for an industrial design firm and we end up with partner with Level Design. They're based in San Francisco and they're woman-led. They're led by women. And the industrial designer who designed Playground is a mom. And I remember, when we think about that is we want our product to be very parent aligned. It's more like that we want to design for the families who really care about what their kids gonna have and play. So we want it to be very parent aligned, mom aligned, dad aligned, and want it to be fun because it's a product designed for family with younger kids. So we want to make it looks fun. And the industry design come through. Sometimes when I hold Playground in is a 3-inch cube and looks like Rubik's cube. and it just communicate, oh, wow, this is a fun device. So I have this holding my hand. I remember our manufacturing partner is Skyward Digital.
Okay.
So we met Sridhar, now the chief product officer of Skyward Digital. He hold the little cube in his hand and listened to the story and just said, let me build it for you. And that was in CES 2023. It ended up going to CES, actually, like it's very meaningful. So we actually met our manufacturing partner there.
Very nice.
And in less than a year, it's from a cube all the way to an actual product.
And those are pretty scaled back CES, as I recall. We didn't even send our whole team that year, but you're a CES success story. I'm sure the CTA would love to claim that, put that on their badge, I guess, for CES. So that's cool to know. Can you talk about the hardware that's powering Playground? What exactly is in there and what is making it so useful for you guys for computer vision? Is it just the camera? Or are there other sensors tracking things?
It's actually just the camera.
Okay.
So the Playground hardware is actually very simple. The magic's actually in the software. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the hardware first. It has a standard like 12 megapixel RGB camera. Covering it, the sensor is a wide-angle lens, 172 degree wide-angle lens, connected to an image signal processor and then connected to an NPU, the neural processing unit. So the ISP do a lot of great things to process the image, and the neural processing unit, the NPU in it, just do all the AI, run all the AI machine learning model to understand what's in the camera. In a sense that we don't need sensors anymore. We don't need, that's what we use, they use sensors. Kinect use depth camera, and later generation, they use a time of flight sensor.
Yeah.
We move everything into software. So camera capture the image, send to NPU, we run machine learning model on top, understand the motion. We track the body, we track the face, we track the hand. So it's pretty deeply understand, and multiple players as well. So one single RGB camera capture the whole living room. We support up to tracking four players at the same time.
I remember how hard that was with the Kinect. Like you could, I think at most have two people with Kinect, but if there were multiple people, it would get very confused. Were you at all inspired by what was possible with that hardware and with the Wii, the motion controls and stuff there?
I think the Wii and the Kinect demonstrate the needs. We also see that as well with our own apps, mobile motion app, motion tracking apps and games. During the pandemic, demand is there. But we and Kinect no longer here. And we need to figure out, when we build Playground, how to make that sustainable. And that's so important that we have our subscription-based business model, because from our perspective, we are not running a hardware business. We are running our service subscription business that we want to create great entertainment for families, get the kids moving, bring the family together, make the mom proud of the experiences they bring to the living room.
Gotcha. I have two kids as well. I have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, almost 4. So it's like the perfect age for this platform. And I've showed them videos of it and they're excited to test it out. So I do have questions about your models. Is PlayPass, that's a subscription that you guys offer, is that the only way to get the games? Are you guys selling games individually at all?
So we, the hardware, which is the MSRP, is $249 and have 5 games bundled.
Okay.
So you buy the hardware with 5 games included, including Foot Ninja. We have a party game called Party Foul. We have our sports game called Goalkeeper, which is a goalkeeping game. We have Starry, which is a music rhythm game and includes some licensed music. Limited library though, because licensed music costs. We also have, and it was only, you unlock more music with PayPass on Starry. And we also have a Whack-A-Mole, more like kids game. So a little bit of variety of what we can play there. We have to also ship updates to those 5 games too. Mm-hmm. So those 5 games are also living and breathing. And then with PlayPass, are $89 a year or $49 a quarter, you unlock the entire game catalog of, at the moment, close to 60 games and experiences. We, every year, in the last 2 years, we ship 20 new games. So like little more than a game per month. And also many game updates as well. I probably ship over 20 game updates. I think over 40 game updates, I believe, in the last year. And next year, I think we're going to do more. So when users like certain games that we play, we have, and we just keep rolling out new updates to the games. Mm-hmm. So not just new games, also a lot of game updates as well. And the idea is to like keep family active and having fun all year round, surprise and delight the kids. And it's a wonderful experience because you just pay once, and we're not asking for any more. Mm-hmm. No ads, there's no IAP. And then we just work our socks off, trying to deliver the best experience possible to the families who have a playground.
Gotcha. So you get those five games that come with the system. They'll stay updated. Is there any thought to offering other games that you could buy individually, or is it all Play Pass, like for to get anything else moving forward?
So we do have our Sports Pack that exclusively available in Target would increase the bundle game from 5 to 8. Mm-hmm. So we added 3 sports games with that sports pack you can own permanently, mm-hmm. which is Basketball Knockout, Tennis Smash, and Bowling Street. So if you want more, get a little more game on it, we have that as an option. But ultimately, we would like to establish that long-term relationship with the family, that we want to serve your family consistently with new content, new updates all year round. Mm-hmm. This is really the business that we are creating.
Yeah.
And this is very liberating. This is very liberating, like the creative freedom that we have with a subscription model is amazing. You're not tied to, need to work on certain genres because only those genres sells. We just can let ourselves run wild and innovate for our customers, surprise and delight our customers with experiences they have not tried before.
Mm-hmm. And the way the subscription works, you were saying annually or quarterly, were you thinking of any other ways, like monthly, just in case people want to dip in and out of the subscription?
We certainly think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we think the annual and quarterly are currently the best model. We have some customers, like some grandparents, their grandkids in the summer, and they would just come in for the summer and enjoy the experiences with their grandkids, and kids go back to the home, then they may not need it. So we do have the quarterly pay pass to cater for the seasonal use. But the thesis or the idea of playground is really our year-long experience that, you know, because we are not like creating a novelty. We want to encourage a healthy lifestyle. We want to encourage active play. And active play should have are always a place throughout the year. And we always imagine what kind of experience we want to create for the families. Kids getting sweaty, kids playing with siblings, kids playing with parents, and have a great time. Sometimes it's like Friday evening game night. And I always imagine that how proud I am when my daughter starts riding a bicycle when she's just turned 4. And we want to create that kind of experience that would make moms and dads proud of the experience that the kids have when they come to sweaty, feel that they achieve something. And we think about like our platform, how our platform build interest, confidence, and skill in sports. That's how we want to align our whole philosophy mm-hmm. with some timeless needs of the families. And the subscription model is the best model to deliver what we decide to deliver to families.
Gotcha. It is funny because I've seen on YouTube people build these sort of like fake interactive games that get kids to get up and play and pretend they're chasing through a Mario Kart world or something. And kids do it because they don't really understand that they may not have that input. It just feels like they're participating. So you guys are making the living version of that. That's cool. I've also noticed like you guys have a lot of well-known and established brands within PlayPass and among your developers like Bluey and other games. That seems hard. That seems very hard for an independent hardware company to do, especially a young one. How did you guys get to the point where these brands actually wanted to build for your platform?
So it all starts with like HomeCore. We create wonderful technology. And so wonderful, MBA came in and invest in a company and have a partnership with the company. So this is the first big partnership that Nix ever had back in HomeCourt days. And when we now pivot into building motion games, and that track record certainly helps for us to land Hasbro. Mm. I remember in some early conversation with Hasbro, they said, well, how do you guys have a exciting new technology platform and want to be part of it. But it's very important that like we do no harm to the brand. The first of all is you cannot harm the brand.
For sure.
But that is the baseline. The baseline. What we eventually want to do is to really elevate the brand, the family value that the brand carry. The first brand partnership that we have on Playground is Peppa Pig. Mm-hmm. It's actually one of the biggest kids IP on the planet.
I know.
One of the biggest.
Yes.
So imagine that, like in Peppa Pig, one of the things they normally frequently do is jumping in the mud. Okay. So what kind of game that actually to really get it to manifest itself for retail so that they can experience jumping in the muddy puddle? You cannot do it in any other platform, but on Nick's Playground, that while you're controlling Pepper, there's a muddy puddle, Pepper jump, you jump, Daddy Pig jump. And when you jump, and then you get dirtier, and it just get all messy.
That's cool.
The only experience that you basically can create on an active play system like Nick's Playground. Not anywhere else.
Yep.
You can only be jumping in a muddy puddle and see how Pepper and Daddy Pig get dirty in a muddy puddle.
But I will tell you.
Think about how we elaborate that.
You can do that in real life, too, because it's ruined many rain shoes with my kids. Like, Peppa's a menace. She's teaching them the wrong things, but it's a constant conversation in our house. But yeah, that's cool. I saw the Peppa game. My son, who's a little Peppa obsessed right now, is totally going to love that. It's cool that you've built this platform, and it's mainly computer vision and camera stuff. Is this something you could translate to other platforms? Can Nix just exist as an app within iOS or Android that people can subscribe to, use a tablet, cast it to a TV or whatever to get the same experience?
Before we build Nix Playground, we're actually running our motion games on those platforms.
Right, right.
And we cannot really find audience there. Mm-hmm. It's not how you use your phone. Like, we have a joking like this. I have a joke that, like, oh, when the parents give their phone to the kids to play motion game connected to the TV, the parent may have separation anxiety with the phone.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah.
Because this phone is for a different purpose.
Yeah.
It's for a different purpose. It's built for be with you all the time, attend to business or anything. That the phone is built for that purpose. It's possible, but it's not the best experience.
Because kids have tablets. Both my kids end up having like old used iPads that still play some games, so it works out for them, yeah.
It may work, but Playground is our closed ecosystem only have kids-friendly content. If you give a tablet just a window to many other things too.
Right.
And also, because tablet front-facing camera is not that wide-angle, so it doesn't have a purpose-built hardware. Wide-angle camera, see so many people. You need to tilt it. So if you, how should I tilt that camera angle? So it's just a lot messier when you, do some makeshift, like iPad connected to TV. Some of our users still play our game that way. We still have mobile games running on some of our early games still running on mobile. And some of them went viral on its own too. but the best experience is on Playground. And what happened is that the best experience actually cut through the noise.
It's a really unique story, especially right now, because we've seen, it's weird. The video game industry is in a weird rocky spot right now. We don't know how long the Xbox brand is going to live because Microsoft can't quite keep that going. So it's cool to see this independent thing come up and be successful within a couple of years. Now that we're talking about iPads, actually, like I can also envision you guys are following the Apple model of building custom hardware that can purely be the best way to experience your software. I could foresee a Nix tablet eventually or something. Is that something you guys are thinking about?
No.
Tablets are cheap. Everyone's building tablets now, so it seems like an easy thing to get into. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we envision, the best experience is always on the biggest screen. And when the time when TV have the processing power and the right camera connection, the right AI capabilities, and the right end-to-end latency. There's a lot of things to get right.
Yeah.
Then I can see Nix can be running on these futuristic, capable TV.
Oh, on the TV itself.
Your camera.
Okay.
It's all about chasing the best experience. Yeah. I would not deny that when a TV finally there, make all the right decision how they optimize the platform to run an experience like this. There's a lot for them to do. Mm-hmm. And also increasing, actually, they need to put in more hardware as well. So the cost would for for the increase when TV in a space where it's like hyper-competitive, very thin margin, it's hard to imagine that TV would go there.
Yeah.
But when that future, you know, what we call a 65-inch iPad, not say that you're going to touch your TV, but the big screen, great camera, and low latency, like capable processing power, when that exists, we want to kind of get on it. We want to get on it because that is even better, could be bad, even better experience. Oh, you don't need to kind of handle with HDMI cable and everything.
Right.
But you can just open it and be able to play our collection of games.
I could see that being a thing. We're seeing more and more TVs get more capable too to play stuff like streaming games, like Xbox cloud streaming and stuff. And it's just video streaming, but you need better networking hardware. You need low latency connections to controllers, stuff like that, to make those experiences work well. So yeah, I think that could eventually be a thing. I saw you guys mention people can also connect a NYX Playground to a projector, which would give you an even bigger screen experience.
Is it?
How is the latency there? Is that just per projector, or is it still like a very real-time experience for the kids on a projector?
Oh, that is just HDMI latency. Mm-hmm. Output to the big screen, and as long as that the projector do things correct, it should be the same as the connecting it to the TV. Because if you play games on your projector, it's all about the latency, how fast the signal reach the display on the screen. So modern TV sometimes take the time to optimize the image for a TV. That's why they introduce gamo, meaning that, hey, like the TV just step back and don't do the optimization of the image, just display what the HDMI give you, and that's game mode. And I think low latency already is a requirement for most TV, because as soon as you use a TV or projector to play games, you need that for low latency. So it's not something that's unique to Playground. It's just basically cut across all game consoles.
Yep.
And I think most should be doing it pretty well.
Gotcha. I guess the hard thing, if you have a projector set up and it's like behind your self projector, then you have to have the NICs up front. So you have to figure out that whole thing. But hopefully people have like HDMI extenders or something going on for those things.
Those who require a long HDMI cable or extender that connect your projector to in front, the center of your home. And we see this as a huge privilege to be there. And we take that responsibility very seriously to protect the family. So everything run locally, nothing go to the cloud. So we take that very seriously.
Gotcha. And you guys have had a pretty wild past few years, like a lot of success there. What are you looking forward to into 2026? Is there anything, I know you're going to be at CES. Is there anything you're going to be announcing or anything you want to mention that you're going to be thinking about for 2026?
Well, I will certainly leave the CES announcement till CES, but we have certainly have big plans on what an exciting new content we're going to add to the platform. And some major new brands jump on board, which is very exciting. And we also keep improving like the software technologies as well. And we think about how we can basically build a ladder to real sports, so like how we can build interest, confidence, skills. If you look into our NHL game, we have a hockey game. You can actually play that game with a real hockey stick, even though it's not required, but we track that motion that if you play the game with a hockey stick, it would work, and it will work well. And that is just like we are teaching some skills, and some skills that could be transferable when you play hockey for real life. But if you want, oh, just want to be casual, you can just use to your hand, it still work. We always think about how we can make positive contributions to kids, because so many great life lessons got to teach in real life sports. And we always think about how we can play a role to get kids more ready for it. And I think in CES, we would share a little more on that vision.
Awesome. Is there anything you learned from your kids as they've been testing out NYX Playground as you guys were developing it? Is there any feedback from your kids that helped make the product better for you?
100%. As I said, like looking back, I can see my kids' fingerprint off, which is awesome to see. And sometimes I just observe how they interact with it. Would they drag me to play again? Would they play again themselves? It's give me some really good indication. I remember vividly our experience with Home Run Hero. So one day I took back like 2 foam bats home, and I have such a blast with my 9-year-old daughter. That we both would be like, Home Run Hero is a game that is a baseball game, and the ball coming at you virtually, and you move your hand to hit the ball at the right time at the right height. So it's really kind of simulate that the sports experience. You can just moving your hand, or you can actually holding a real foam bat to play that. And and it's two players. So two players can hitting a ball, and we need to strategize like how we can score some special points, and we can playing against the data of two other playground players. And we have such a wonderful time. And I remember I just was secretly check on my wife, and I one day I come home late, and I just ask, hey, did our younger one play that game again herself today? And my mom, you know, can be, yeah. So yes, yes, we create something that my would just get back to and have some fun herself and hit some balls. And I remember that weekend when the TV is showing MLB, like that game. And then we are watching and we start talking about things. Isn't it more, oh, through the game, it opens up her world to now knowing and taking interest in baseball. And I'm sure that when the opportunity presents itself, that in school, that when somebody, hey, let's just play a game, she'll feel likely step forward to hit a few balls. That's exciting.
Gotcha. So it's like you're the anti-iPad kids, basically. You want them to get up, you want them to move, and eventually get the skills for real-world sports. That's cool.
Well, different devices have different role to play, yeah. And we just squarely focus on the role that Nick's Playground can uniquely play for the family.
Awesome. Well, David Lee, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I'm looking forward to chatting with you again once I get to try out the Nick's Playground. And certainly as you guys release new things, we should definitely chat again.
100%. Thank you so much for having me.